This is iHeartRadio's Prattcast with Stephanie Pratt and Wells Adams.
That episode last night was bonkers. Wells hanging out. Steph, you're in London, I suppose?
Yep, still here.
Did you watch
the episode? And you're back in Burbank, aren't you?
Yep, I'm back from vacation. I had to leave Fiji. It was so depressing to come back to a town that's exactly the same temperature, to be honest with you, but...
The exact opposite energy, though.
That's true. That's very true. But I'm back. I'm happy to be in the iHeart studios. More so, this is such a terrible thing to say out loud, but I'm so happy to be back because I get to watch TV again. When you go on vacation, you don't watch TV. Life. And that sucks, dude.
Well, that's because you have a girlfriend. Well, when I go on vacation, my nights, woo!
Just chock full of Netflix and room service?
Just on Sunday night, I had Chinese food, Die Hard, and then, no, Die Hard 2. And then last night, Die Hard 3 was on.
Oh, wow.
So I just got donuts. I've been having, like, great movie time over here. Because this is, like, vacation for me. I'm off work.
Yeah. Are you like last week we talked, you said you were super happy to be back in London. Your mental clarity was pristine. Are you still feeling good being in London town?
Did Amy tell you?
About what?
Are we talking about how annoying the situation is that I'm going back to town?
You're coming back?
Yeah.
Why are you coming back?
So
New Beginning season 2.
No, my God. This is actually like, I've got my tiny piano that I'm playing.
Mm-hmm. Violin.
I signed.
I now know when to correct you even before you've gotten
right
your thought out.
Right now, Misha Barton's like, liar, venom. okay, not piano, violin. Every day, it's been 9 days that I've been off. Walking down the roads, getting in the black cabs, you know, driving. I'm just seeing all the people. I feel like Little Mermaid when she gets feet. Like, literally seeing people and talking to people. And because where I live in Chelsea, it's like this guarded, huge, it's like the Buckingham Palace, but like obviously nothing like that, but of like different buildings with just like all the best people, and like there's two parks, and it's just I cannot, and how calm I feel when I walk down the street. I become the biggest tourist the last week. I'm just videoing every, oh my God, I'm going to send them to you to annoy the hell out of you.
Wait,
I'm just videoing myself walking, like just. So,
I feel like...
Just so I could watch it at night.
I feel like you just saw a butterfly and you went running the opposite direction. We were talking about why you were coming back home. And then now we're talking about you being a tourist.
Because you have to understand how happy I am after this horrible, you know, year and stuff going on where I didn't think I would make it through it. Like, the challenges. So happy, finally. I text my dad Sunday night saying, Dad, you know, I really miss you. I hope you're taking care of yourself. I just wanted to let you know that I'm so, so, so happy to be here. Like, I've been completely humbled by everything here. And, you know, this is really the right thing for me. And I just want you to know that I'm genuinely the happiest I could ever be. Writes me right back. Hey, Steph. Just watched 5 matches of Wimbledon. Dogs are great. Mom broke her leg in 3 places.
Oh.
3 pins in her leg. Surgery tomorrow. Say hi to Max. Love you.
Oh, my gosh.
Literally, after I was, like, dancing in the street, like, on rollerblades with sparklers, being like, I love London. So, anyways, that was, like, holy shit, my life just took a big pause. So immediately I'm like, what happened? What, like, is she okay? And she was at the hospital, and I said, and I was like, well, how serious is it? And she sent me a photo. I sent it to Amy of her leg, and it's just got, I mean, these huge, like, 14-inch rods sticking out of her legs. Like, just something so gnarly. And this is, everyone be very careful, because you hear these horror stories, and you never know, like, you know, always about escalators. I'm going to wrap this up. Is your flip-flops. My mom's flip-flops, the flap got in between the wood, like wood floors, you know, and it just snapped and she just flew. So flip-flops are very dangerous. But anyways, she's okay. And I told my dad, okay, I'll be home on Thursday, because it takes me 48 hours to get Max approved to go home.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
So you're coming back.
So yeah. Yes, that's the update.
Okay, but oh, hold on. Just because... You okay?
Oh, yeah. It's like, it was the first time I was saying, I haven't told anyone yet.
Well, you just told everybody.
I haven't told anyone here yet.
Elephant in the room, you haven't been talking to your mother for the past, I don't know, ever since we came back from Napa, and now you're coming back to take care of her after she broke her leg. Does that mean you guys have, like, mended your fences, or what's the deal?
Oh, God, no. I'm absolutely livid with her. I think she's an absolute... she's delusional. I'm absolutely livid with her. But at the same time, like, obviously, if anything happens to my beloved mother or father, I will be on the next flight. But in this case, having a dog, I'll be on the next 48 hours from now flight.
Got it. Well, you're
yeah,
being
that's
a
the
good
thing.
Daughter.
It's like, as upset as I am doing this, like, the main thing is like, so lucky that this wasn't, you know, a text, like, phone call saying that it was a car accident or that her life. I mean, this is, you know, I definitely think it's heaven sent from God as giving me this opportunity to show my mom that I will always be there for her. Like I've been saying to her, my dad, like, I love them. And, like, it is so, it drives me wild to know that Spencer and Heidi would have been completely useless.
Yeah.
They would have brought over some flowers when she got back from the hospital. So, basically, I talked to my dad earlier today. She's out of surgery, and it's my last thing on it. And he's going to take the doors off of the library and the door off of the bathroom, like, adjacent, and take that furniture out, because she's going to be in a wheelchair. I mean, it's like completely gnarly. And so we're going to have to buy a bed and put it in the library. And I had the most genius idea. So I get home on Thursday to LA. I'm going to go get one of those Sleep Numbers beds where you can adjust either one side or both sides of the bed to raise your feet up, your legs up or down, back up, down, like the temperature. Cause she's not going to be able to move.
Yeah.
Like she's going to be like this seeing her. And also I know that it's God, this is the first time I'm talking now and I'm just gibbering away. I'm sorry. Let me take a break. Sorry, Wells. Welcome back. Sorry.
No, it's, I mean, like, this is one of those weird things where maybe some things happen for a reason, and maybe that the reason why the universe is saying this is a good excuse for Steph to come home and her bones will mend and hopefully their relationship will as well. Who knows?
And yeah, regardless of the outcome, I will always be there.
Yeah.
But it also, like, last week, remember how I was saying that I felt like very indifferent and, you know, about Spencer and Heidi.
Yeah.
And not like now this has just kind of fired me back up. I don't really know how I'm dealing with my emotions right now. I can't figure out if I'm completely anxious, if I'm angry, if I'm like doing the right thing, doing the wrong thing. There's so many thoughts because this just all happened last night. And I'm getting on a plane the day after tomorrow. Like, it's just so annoying because I know Spencer and Heidi would be doing absolutely nothing, sending flowers and that's it. My dad has to go to work. Who's going to feed the dogs and take them on walks? Charlie has medication. I mean, no one would be there for my mom. And I know when they found out that I was coming, they're probably like, let's have a bottle of wine. This is great. I knew we'd get off. It's just like, do something nice for our parents that love you more than anyone else.
You got a lot of things running through your mind right now. I'm excited about today's episode. We're going to have Brandon Lee on, who, by the way, he's turning into like one of my favorite characters on The Hills. Why don't you take a deep breath? We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about this last episode and have Brandon Lee on, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay, so last night's episode, really enjoyed, by the way, Steph. I made some notes, and I want to go through them real quick, but first I want to welcome in Brandon Lee to the Prattcast. Dude, welcome, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having
me.
I can't believe I'm sitting here with Stephanie on FaceTime from London. This is weird.
Oh, it's called Skype, darling. It's even more backwards.
What? Oh, my God. She's going full Cockney right now.
Yeah.
It's happening.
I love it. She's got her tea and her corgi sitting there and her teeth are already getting worse.
Oh my God, this actress is green for dinner. I swear to God.
Okay, so here's my question. Brandon, did you know Steph before the show started?
Not at all.
Yeah?
Yeah, I feel like I got blindsided with Stephanie.
What were your preconceived notions about Stephanie before the show started?
The only thing I knew about Stephanie before going to film the show was... Literally, I found it out like 45 minutes before I met her, was on the car ride to a party of hers. Brody just was like, look, don't say anything too aggressive. Don't look her in the eye. Don't do any of this. So I'm like, holy shit, she's like a wild animal. Like, I'm like, is she like a wild?
Do you die for this?
Yeah, it was insane.
Okay, so then after meeting...
Just found that out on the press trip. Brody only warned him about me. Like, kills me, makes me laugh. But what about besides Brody? What about like the show? Like, did anyone else say anything? Can you like backstab anyone right now?
What, did anyone else say anything? Like, what do you mean?
Did she wants to know? Did Heidi say, "Oh yeah, watch out"?
No, I'm just like anyone.
No. No,
what Brody only said.
I know this might hurt your ego, but literally it was only Brody.
All right.
Nobody else.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not saying it right. Like, did Brody also say Spencer?
No, you were the only one. You're the only person I was warned about.
Everyone's great.
Brody's a dick.
Don't look her straight in the eye. It will make her angry.
Exactly.
You will turn to stone if you look her directly in the eyeball.
I didn't want to wear red. I wore neutral colors. Everything.
After filming the show with her, what do you think of Steph?
See, like, Stephanie's like a, almost like a, what is it? What's the word for that? She's like a porcupine. You know what I'm saying? Like when the needles are down, like it's like cute and like nice and everybody thinks it's so cute and nice. And then like it goes
weird
like,
animal.
And then gets its spikes out and then shoots them everywhere and nobody wants to go the f*** near it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Stephanie. That's kind of what I've learned from the show.
That is so on point. You need to be at the next like Comedy Central roast as a roaster. Like, you're the funniest person.
Thank you so much.
He really is. And I only just discovered that in New York.
You
and Brody
put in a good word for me in the casting
time.
Process with all your pull at Comedy Central.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go through the episode from last night. Okay, so we start with Spencer and Heidi. Getting this like Pratt Daddy crystal party ready. Here's my thing. First of all, why is an open bar worth $40,000? in what world is open bar worth $40,000?
He paid $40,000 for that?
They were like arguing
in
over...
what world do they tell the truth?
Okay. Second thing is how much does a crystal healer cost? Because they were talking about it in terms of the budget of the night. And I just got to know, if you're just placing rocks on people's foreheads and chakras, what's that going for?
You can't put a price on that. It's spiritual. So it'll run you $20,000.
Yeah.
It's spiritual. Okay, I'll pay $1 million.
You were at the party.
No.
You didn't go?
I didn't go to the crystal party. I think I was...
You're filming.
I might have been working. Oh. I might have been doing something else. I don't know. I don't know why I wasn't there.
Were you not invited?
Oh, I was invited. I was invited because I remember Michael Utzinger and everyone. I had this pool party and we talked about it there. But yeah. I just couldn't make it for some reason. It looked like it was sick, though. I mean, I definitely feel like I really missed out.
How does one get a bunch of Instagram models to come to their pool party? Not asking for me. But I imagine a lot of guys out there would like to know how this works.
Oh, man. A lot of sliding.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of, I don't know. I mean, look, like, I sadly don't have enough time on my hands to commit fully to professional DM sliding.
Yeah.
So I have a couple friends that are just fantastic at it. Michael Utzinger is one of them. Justin Karabi is another one of them.
So they have access to your Insta account? And
no,
they get in there and slide
hell
for you?
No, okay. I would never, ever let that happen. But, you know, I don't know. Like, if you got some friends that, like, work in, like, whatever, the clubs or anything like that, I always
AKA
hit them
at... AKA pimps.
Yeah, whatever. My pimps. Yeah, Stephanie. I don't know.
Dude,
I hit them up sometimes.
Guys.
It's just all circumstantial, dude. They're just, like, they tell the girls that they're coming to my house, and then they'll be like, oh, yeah, I'll go. And then they just arrange it all, and I don't have to deal with any headaches, calling anyone Ubers or nothing.
All right.
So... yeah, I mean it's more of a circumstantial process. I don't think it's very hard for a normal person to do that, and it shouldn't be, but it's just all about clout these days. And these girls aren't going to show up at your house if you don't have any clout, which is sad because that's just how it is. Like, you know, I think I read some crazy statistic that like 30% of males from like 23 to like no from like 25 to 35 didn't have sex last year, and I'm like, this is because Instagram, because no girls are having sex with regular guys anymore. They can just go on their phone and be like, oh, this guy's popping, like I'll just DM him, and any guy with a is gonna be like, oh yeah, for sure,
man.
Yeah, it's horrible.
That is depressing.
It is.
A guy that just chatted me up at a bar,
what,
lived in a boat.
Like what kind of boat though? That's
like
important
that. No, that's what I originally thought. And then when he said where it was, I like pass it. He has one of those houseboats where it's like a sailboat with a bed. You guys are annoying. Stop reading whatever you're reading.
A houseboat?
No,
was he homeless?
Lamer than that.
Was his like name Justin Bobby? Because I feel like he's lived in a tree fort. He's lived in Ethiopia or something.
A tree hut.
Tree hut.
Way cooler. Dude. This was a weird houseboat.
By the way, I didn't know how much feelings you had for Justin Bobby.
Right? That was what I wanted to segue
what
into.
What the f*** was that, Stephanie?
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking to Wells?
I'm talking to you. I'm trying to look directly at you, but I realize you're there, so I'm going to look directly at this camera when I say this. You were so hurt when you found out he was hanging out with Audrina. What was that?
I didn't even watch it, honestly. I fast forward the whole episode.
Yeah,
I found it very dull.
You definitely watched it 100%.
But you lived it too. So
what are you talking about?
I think
about?
I need to watch it. Well, that's why, like, that's the thing. But like, I always feel like I have to watch it for the podcast. But
so, but did you really?
I know what.
Did you really have feelings for Justin?
Not at all. But I like the feelings that I have for him. I absolutely love him.
It didn't look like that.
There's never a point, but.
I'm just saying.
Brandon, I know you want to do this. I know.
Do what?
Wait until you guys.
Well, we have to talk about it because the show is definitely trying to paint the picture that there is
absolutely.
Some
Here's
spark
the thing.
Between
Audrina,
you two.
Audrina was talking about me to Justin, vice versa. Justin and I kept on showing each other the texts and calling each other after... we'd hang up with Audrina, or she'd be fuming and livid and like saying all these f***ed up crazy things. And, you know, in the future episodes, every time I see her, I want to be like, you know, admit all these texts, like everything that you're saying is just surface. There's so much under it that you and Joey have orchestrated, and all the texts, like I have all this proof. And she just, that's why she always runs away. And Justin and I were just like, at the end of it, just so f***ed off. Like, we're just like, what's wrong with this girl? Doesn't she have like another storyline to go talk about? Or like, does she want to date a guy on the side and then pretend that she has feelings with Justin, but she needs to be the victim? So it's like, oh, Joey, you want to be on TV? Sign this release form and be like, Stephanie's sleeping with Justin. And there, Audrina's like, what? As Audrina's still dating that guy that she met at the fucking music festival date. A prey date.
It did seem like the Joey woman was very angry at you.
Did you say hi to her? I don't even know her. I didn't say goodbye to her. I don't know this woman.
Who are you talking about?
And then the best is, she tries to come to Vegas. Because obviously, like, when I'm hearing about this, I'm like, how are your 15 minutes? Are you loving camera time? Did they put a mic on you this time? Or are you still having the boom? And she was like, I don't want to be on this show. I will walk away. And I was like, okay, do it. And then she was like, no. And then, like, you hear, sorry, Audrina, your assistant can't come to Vegas with you. She's like, God damn it. I'm like, oh, you went on a Vegas trip too.
So what I'm getting from this is that you're just hurt right now. You are in your feelings about all this stuff, all her, like,
no,
all her little moments with Justin. You sound really jealous. You sound really jealous.
What it is the thing is you guys have no idea what else continues.
I mean, yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know. I feel like you just didn't answer any of the questions we did.
God.
So you don't love Justin Bobby?
Oh my God, no.
That was the worst no ever.
She goes,
no. We're like, do you love Justin Bobby? She goes, no.
No, like, because I'm in such like disbelief. It's wild to me. I'm looking at you like you both are morons.
There are literally 0% of the United States female population that isn't in love with Justin Bobby right now. So you're telling me you're the one. The only.
I say this every week to you. All right. Go on. Any more questions from me, Brandon, before we move on?
Yeah, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk about this pool party and the date you went on, Brandon. All right. So here's the deal. There's nothing grosser. Is that a word? Whatever. There's nothing more gross than warm alcohol. And that's why Dylan, the founder of Brewmate, created Brewmate. His mission is to shake up the beverage industry for the better. Brewmate's stylish, insulated drinkware is designed to keep your favorite beverages ice cold all day long. I took one to Paradise, kept my drinks nice and icy cold the entire time we were filming. Whatever your taste in beer, wine, or spirits, Brewmate makes sure every sip is the perfect temperature. And here's the deal. They got so many different designs and styles to choose from. They've truly got something for everyone. Don't settle for warm alcohol. Chill out your favorite drinks all day long with Brewmate. Visit brewmate.com and add code PRATCAST to get 15% off your first order. That's 15% off your first order when you go to brewmate.com and add code PRATCAST. Brandon Lee on the PRATCAST right now. I'm so excited to meet you because I got to be honest with you. Like, obviously, I'm a fan of your parents. And I didn't really know a whole lot about you. And it's very interesting because Steph and I were talking about this. The people that have been on reality TV for a very long time on this show seem a little less authentic than the new blood that's coming in. And you came in and you just are, it seems like you're just kind of being yourself and just being very present. I was wondering what your like impression of doing reality TV is for the first time.
I mean, that was exactly it, just reality. So I never had any plans to do any sort of show like this in my entire life. But the kind of the opportunity arose and And what I understood from the original was, you know, it followed people kind of growing up and going through their professional lives. And that interests me. Just since I feel like people haven't really had the chance to know me, especially since who my parents are, and that kind of overshadows a lot of the work that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this was a great place to kind of showcase that and for people to get to know me better, and that I'm my own person, and that, you know, I'm completely different. As well as the fact is that when I was going to do this show, I was going to be 100% just myself, honest, like open, and just relax and just be myself. I feel like so many people on TV in these particular circumstances always want to put on these characters that are more interesting than themselves, that they think are more interesting than themselves. And that never really plays for me. When I watch something, I want someone to be as authentic as possible, whether it's a movie, any sort of TV show, any talk show, anything. I can tell right away if someone's being fake.
Yeah.
And that doesn't, it just seems shallow and surface, and like, it doesn't draw me in. So I was thinking about it like, look, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to be 100% myself, and that's it. And that's all I've been trying to do.
Well, you definitely are coming across very well adjusted, considering, I think, the perception of your circumstances. I think the thought of Pam and Tommy Lee's kid would be like party, rock star, bombastic. And you seem to be coming in as very even keeled. So anyways, I just want to say I applaud you, and I'm having a good time watching you on TV.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I was all of that for a long time. You know, and then that obviously you kind of get, you're at this point when you're a kid and you reach a certain age where you're like, what am I going to be? What am I going to do? What's going to be my identity? And you kind of are at a crossroads, and you're going to either try to be your parents or you're going to try to be somebody else. And I feel like that's something that everyone goes through in their life when they have successful parents in any field, whether it's a successful lawyer, doctor, anybody. You know, you have that opportunity to decide, or a lot of people don't have the opportunity, actually. Their parents are going to, you know, they want you to be a lawyer or a doctor and think that, because that's what they did. And thank God, you know, my parents lived this crazy lifestyle, and I kind of looked at that and I was like, I don't really want to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to work, and I want to focus on my craft and try to be an actor and a good entertainer and do it that way. So that's, you know, I kind of went through all that phase very early in my life. So, I mean, I don't know. I've seen it all. It doesn't, none of that impresses me anymore.
Did you really beat Brody in that tennis match?
I beat him so bad.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I can't remember if they show him scoring any points, but if they did, it's a lie, because he scored absolutely 0 points on me. I have no idea. I whomped his ass so bad.
And then afterwards, you go on a date with one of the girls that came over for the pool party. I think her name's Ashley.
No, Ashley wasn't at the pool party.
She wasn't?
Uh-uh.
Oh.
Ashley, no, there was a couple girls at the pool party.
And that's where I got confused.
About what?
Remember that whole hair thing? Because you talk about the pool party girl. And remember that, like, coming up, you're like, Stephanie, don't mess this up.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know,
Stephanie, I said,
at the pool party.
No, Stephanie, I said, don't mess this up, because there's other girls coming to the pool party. So don't f-ing say anything to this girl, because it's going to f*** everything up. And immediately that's what happened.
My only question about the date that you went on with Ashley to Fred Siegel, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Which I feel like that was such an original Hills thing, to go to Fred Siegel and jump around. My girlfriend and I were watching last night. We want to know, did you buy her that white denim jacket or not?
I honestly can't remember. I really might not have. I don't know. It was whatever I was feeling in the moment.
That was exactly the answer that I wanted to hear from you about that.
Yeah. Just, I don't know. I probably did whatever everyone's thinking. I don't know. Oh, man.
All right, we want to be respectful of your time, so we'll let you out of here. Last question. Is there anything that you've seen in the show that you don't think is real or needs to be, I don't know, fixed in your mind?
I mean, I wish more than anything that Brody and Spencer could just just have a boxing match.
Yeah.
That's for me. That's the season finale.
Yeah.
Throw them in a fucking boxing ring and have them fight it out. And, you know, winner gets to decide whatever their relationship's going to be after that. Because I am so sick of, like, being in the middle of these two adult babies just, like, whining all day.
Can I ask you a question? Just as someone who's watching the show as a fan, this is how I perceive it. Brody doesn't want to be friends with Spencer anymore. And he's trying to be nice about it, but he's just like, listen, I'm going to keep you at an arm's length. And Spencer wants to be friends with Brody again, and that's what's making it awkward.
It's like the ex that wants to get back together with you, and you're just like, I don't know. I kind of see it that way, too. I think more than anything, I think Brody would want to be friends with Spencer again if I think Brody understood that Spencer's a different person now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Brody's at that point. So, and obviously Spencer hasn't really done anything to prove his loyalty or like there's been no major like, oh, I had your back in this situation or I stuck up for you. There's been nothing like that. So I think for Brody, it's pretty easy to be like, you're the same dude that, you know, f***ed me over and you're like, you know, still doing all this crazy shit. So I think it's easy for Brody to kind of distance himself and not want that friendship. I feel like if in order for some, there needs to be some sort of grand gesture from Spencer besides just like being there and hanging out.
And crystals.
Yeah. Like it lets, you know, like there's a lot of opportunity like for him to do this stuff. A lot of people, you know, talk shit on Brody and like people go after Brody on this show. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of opportunity for Spencer to jump in and be the hero. But, you know, who knows if he does? Like, I don't even know. I can't even remember what happened this year. Been like we did this for like a year and I feel like there's so many relationships that are just like on the point of being so good but just like can't get there. I don't know, it's crazy.
Steph, do you have any questions for Brandon before he jumps out?
Yeah, did you have a good time filming?
I had an amazing time
filming. What episode are you the most worried about?
Probably like the next three episodes. Just because, you know.
Oh, because the chicks.
No, yeah. I just like, it was weird for me kind of adjusting to like, to, I don't know, like try to date on TV. So I'm waiting to see how that plays out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's like nerve wracking. I don't want to give away my playbook. Second off. It's private moments. It's like not really meant for anyone else to see. That's why it's so interesting. I don't know. Like for me, it was like a process to like try to block the cameras out and just focus on, you know, the beautiful girl in front of me. And that's, you know, sometimes that's harder than it seems.
Dude, I will say this. It is so hard to make out with a woman with cameras and sound guys around you for the first time. And it took me in 9 episodes to get the balls to do it. So I understand where you're coming from. And then you become like immune to it, which is even more shocking to your
it's
persona.
Worse. You're like, wait, why isn't this weird?
Yeah. Because just watching this.
You're like, now it's like you're private and you're like, wait, like, let's get a camera.
Now. Yeah. We got a good thing going on.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. That was awesome.
Thank you for being on the show.
Yeah.
Man.
Thank you so much. I'll see you guys later. Have fun.
All right, we're back. Steph is, I don't know, she's lost in the ether somewhere. We don't know what happened to her. Her Wi-Fi in London is absolutely horrible. So I'm going to take the reins on the show. We've got Audrey Hope on the line. She's an award-winning certified addiction therapist and holds a Doctor of Divinity degree who uses her abilities as a clairvoyant psychic medium to heal patients from trauma. You're also somewhat of a specialist when it comes to crystals, I hear. Is that right?
Yes, and I work at Seasons Rehab in Malibu, so I've worked with a lot of celebrities.
Oh, wow. Tell us the most famous celebrity that you've had to work with.
I'm not allowed to, so I would lose my job, and that would just open up a can of worms.
Okay. Yeah,
but let me say I've been privileged to meet a lot of people, and we all suffer the same, and that is the truth.
I'm going to say a couple celebrities' names. If you say nothing, then I know they've been there. If you say nothing, then I know that they aren't there. Tom Cruise.
Ah, I can't say anything. No, 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 no.
Tom
no,
Hanks.
No, don't do this to me. No, no, no.
Tom Hiddleston.
Oh, you're a character. Oh, boy. I'm going to be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Well, the ones that have come out and have said they've been to rehab, that's okay, and there's been a few of those. And, you know, I've worked with Chester from Linkin Park and, you know, some people who have lost their lives.
Well, thank you for coming on the show, and thank you for doing what you do. It's obviously like a serious disease, and it's awesome that there are people out there like you that are helping everyone. We brought you on, I think, specifically to talk about crystals. Are you watching The Hills? Like, is that something
I watched the show today?
Okay.
So I wanted to say something about Spencer.
Yeah. Okay. Floor is yours.
Okay. So Spencer has beautiful crystals. And he mentioned that he wanted everyone to feel the portal to other dimensions. I mean, that was a quote. And he said he wanted everyone to feel the vibe and the energy, mm-hmm. right? So that could be kind of like airy-fairy kind of L.A. talk. But the truth of the matter is he's right. There is a science behind it that is so fascinating. So he's right on it. You know that crystals are used in our electronics, our machines, our computers, our, you know, medical optical devices, our TV screens, because it gives an accurate frequency and it regulates energy and it directs light precisely. So it's known as the most reliable source of energy. And that is science backing up what Spencer said. And I can go on.
Well, I want you to go on about the crystal healer that he has in at the party that puts crystals all over your body. Is that real or is that not real?
Well, that's one way to use them because crystals do so many things. So it's like having their own personality. Each crystal has its own unique vibration. So if you put it on different parts of the body, it can actually heal it. And, you know, this is since the beginning of time. Do you know that, like, emeralds relieve depression?
Mm-hmm.
And you can use a sapphire to help nosebleeds? Like, some of the crystals are really medically miracle. Like, jade cleanses the blood, and carnelian helps the reproductive system. So when you put it on certain parts of the body, it actually attunes. And that's like from the physical law of resonance, because everything is through the law of attraction. So you know that Tesla said, if you want the secrets of the universe, you have to think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration.
Yes, I did know that.
Right? And Einstein said everything's energy and vibration, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we all love music, and that has a certain vibration and energy that helps us, right? We all get happy when we hear certain music. That's because it has a hertz vibration. And if you listen to music over a 528 hertz, you can actually heal. I mean, this is proven. High frequency heals, low frequency causes disharmony. So positive energy vibrates faster and lighter, negative energy denser and heavier. So we're going beyond. You notice that the world is going crazy, right? Like the world is, you know, bonkers. You know, what's happening politically and all these fires in Malibu and all these things happening in our planet. Well, it could be kind of a time of healing, like moving into a new frontier, which is beyond the mind. Taking Star Trek, you know, let's go beyond into a new frontier. And energy medicine is all about raising the vibration of the body. And this is the secret of all healing. So what does the crystal have? It has the resonance of the earth, and it holds the DNA. And so when you hold it, you can actually raise your vibration. So it does many things, too.
Okay, so Steph, you're back on the show. Okay, you've been living in this crystal world for a while. Do you buy the crystal thing? Like, are you into it, or do you think it's all a bunch of hocus pocus?
You know, I go in and out of things. I was introduced to crystals from Reiki teachers when I would do that. And, you know, and then when you're like in a boutique and at the counter, you know, they've got like cute crystals and like keychains, and that one's quartz, it means love. So like, you know, I'm that kind of consumer as well. But I mean,
talking,
I have
I was
one.
Talking about the about science it. Of it, Steph, so this way you can understand your brother. Because your brother's on to something, even if he's a fanatic, right? Did I hear that? He's like absolutely obsessed.
Yeah. I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this when I was watching the episode. And what you're saying is, you know, these crystals help with, you know, getting you back aligned, helping with the harmony in your life. And if that's true, it seems to me that Spencer is someone who's using that because his life is constantly like harmonious, right? Like he's always putting himself in crazy situations with like bombastic results and all that kind of stuff. And he's using this thing to try to even the scales. And it seems to me that's not a great way to...
Absolutely right. You are so right.
Well,
because you know
well,
why?
You
because
literally are the f***ing genius. Every week you get it right.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I just had to, wow.
I'm with you 100% because when I was watching it, I was thinking about what is going on. Was there music in the background? Were they playing like some kind of wild music? And were some of the people gossiping about each other? That's energy, yeah. Right? And the problems that people have, listen, there's no crystal in the world that's going to heal that. No way, no how. Okay?
We haven't found one yet. For them.
So you are absolutely right on. You have, it's what you bring, you know, your issues. That's not going to go away. I'm absolutely fascinated how I would love to know how he got into it and why he got into it. But you have to work on your issues. Like, I'm a soul healer, and you have to go down.
He joined a cult.
The cave, man. You have to go down and figure out what's going on.
I heard he joined a cult.
Yeah. What? He's like a crystal cult?
Yeah, I heard he had joined a cult, and they... They love crystals and building... Probably, yeah.
All right.
You know how funny cults can be.
Feel like that's getting cut out of the show. Anyways.
It's not good, Steph, because, you know.
But I think you're right. They've done so many bad things, and they're such horrible people that what else? I mean, God must laugh at Heidi when she prays. What else is there to turn to if they're like, okay, this will heal my heart. This will heal, you know, toxic people from my life. This will... keep away evil. Like that, like it wells, like it completely makes sense. It's like they need all that.
Right.
And that's
right.
Not enjoying crystals anymore. That's like taking prescription pills. That's like, you know, it's
you're
not enjoying them.
Right.
And
it's like drugs. There's no substitute for real healing and looking at yourself. And also crystals are not a fad. You know, it's been going on since the beginning of time. Crystals have been used. You can find it in the Bible 200 times, the Quran, the Hindu Vedas. I mean, this is real serious stuff. So, and even in Atlantis, I don't know if you know the story, if it's true, it was destroyed by a crystal. So,
What?
Yeah, the city of Atlantis that was the powerful spiritual world that Edgar Cayce, the most famous psychic in the world, has talked about, it was destroyed. It was a very advanced world, and it was destroyed by a crystal. Could you imagine? That's how it was, you know, that's why it's not here anymore. That's because of crystal energy. So,
Did like the crystal, like they make like a crystal gun and then it exploded the town? Oh, wait.
No, they made like a crystal. They used the technology of crystals.
And then they built the Death Star.
Like I said to Steph, you know, it's used in everywhere in our electronics and our phones. Crystals are everywhere because it is the most reliable source of energy. The truth is, I'm going to read this quote. It's the most orderly structure that exists in nature, and it's the most cohesive expression of physical matter. So we use it everywhere because it's so reliable and it works, right? But when you're mm-hmm. talking about people that are icky people that are like avoiding their issues, the crystal will probably magnify that and make it worse. You can't use it.
Oh, they wouldn't be able to walk into a restaurant or into a door or whatever without waving a crystal wand in the doorways.
Now that's
aside, I will say Romancing the Stone is my favorite movie ever.
So, Audrey, you have a YouTube show called Hope for Relationships.
Yes, I wanted to give people some secrets. You know, I've been working for like almost 20 years in Malibu on soul healing in my own way.
That's where I'm from.
Yeah, it's also serious. You know, it's pretty serious. People come in and, you know, they're almost dying or they have serious trauma. And so it's a very grounded thing. And you can tell I'm from New York. So this is going beyond the mind because a lot of people go to therapy and they don't heal. So I've kind of found a new way to go into the deeper level of the soul. You know, which is why are you here? Maybe your karma, your past life. Like, what the hell is really going on? So I could take it to that level, and so it's kind of a gift, which I love to, you know, give away. So I put it on my YouTube show, some of the secrets of, let's say someone wants to manifest a soulmate or someone wants to manifest money. I was kind of tapping into the secrets and putting it on YouTube. So it's like sometimes I have 10-minute shows, 2-minute shows. I just wanted it documented.
Well, we need help with you manifesting hope for her and her brother's relationship. How do we fix that issue?
Well,
please, Wells, come on.
No?
Honestly. Don't even waste her time. Honestly, it's just, it's not fair anymore.
Well, if you get frustrated, that's something you need to look at, you know, like maybe get stronger to it, or you're trying to help him, or what's going on. Because it's always, in healing, it's always about you. It's not about the other person. Yep. Did you know that? It's kind of the secret of all healing.
Absolutely. And that's why I don't have the anger anymore.
Great.
It'll never change. My mom will never change. People never change unless they're self-aware or not senile. So just gotta take care of yourself first and not let anyone else tell you how you should be feeling that day.
Right.
It's
and
your
accept
day.
Him. Accept him for what he is. You know, accept him and try not to be riled up. Or I would say, what riles
nah,
you up?
I can't accept him. I can't accept someone that has, like, the equivalent to having those pit bull fights or whatever. Like, I'll never accept people like that. He's f***ing
okay. Yeah. That kind of says it all. I think we got somewhere.
Sorry, it's really,
bottom lining it's
late.
Very good.
I know it's early for you guys.
I think it's fabulous. So do you have any problems you want to ask me about?
Okay, one quick question. I'm going home on Thursday to take care of my mother, who at the moment I despise and haven't talked to since the beginning of April. Mm-hmm. But obviously I have to take care of her. Mm-hmm. She's going to be, you know, on medication and out of it. And I'm just going to try to keep it very clean and, like, you know, food, help her bathroom, food, walk the dogs, feed the dogs, you know, just... I want to make it as disconnected as I can. Yeah. And LA is such a dark place for me. I just got back to London 9 days ago.
Yeah.
And I'm having a lot of feelings. Do you see strength in this? Or do you see this becoming weakness and all of a sudden I'm going to be ending up in another trauma treatment for depression?
No, you can't let that happen. And actually, depression is taking on someone's energy. So I would say go, because you're feeling that you want to, but just make sure you shield.
No, I have to. Yeah. Like, I have to take care of my mom. My dad has to work. My brother is useless. Like there's, I have to. And
so
I, like,
your lesson
mom.
In life, Steph, is probably to be unaffected and to get strong from this. You can use them as a test. You can use them as a test where they won't get to you. So it's really making you become stronger. So see it that way and put a shield around you. Do you know a shield is like 2 feet above, 2 feet to the left and right and all around you? And shield yourself. And every single time you get activated, even go into the bathroom and just kind of like clear it. All negative energy, leave me immediately. And just keep coming back and get out of the house as fast as you can. But I think it's the strength.
And not put myself in her shoes so then I start getting upset. No, those emotional boundaries out of like the bubble around me.
Yeah, you have to.
Because then I start feeling guilty, can't go back to London, my parents are old.
You'd have to clear that energy.
I'm really worried that's going to happen.
You know that it's called the wound of the tribe. It's like family is the hardest because it tests us the most. And, you know, in spirituality, they say it's an honor to be tested because it's to make you stronger. So kind of see it from a different angle. Don't get so involved in it. Kind of raise up and kind of see, oh, this is all about me getting stronger. And kind of let them go.
I get to.
You know what I mean? Like how you look at a table. Yeah. You wouldn't expect anything from a table, right? It's just neutral. Just see it as neutral and don't be activated. It's a really good test for you because for some reason you're going to need it. Whatever your future is, you're going to need to become stronger. Don't let them get to you. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? So there's a lot of techniques for that. A lot.
Going in with a positive attitude. I definitely believe in The Secret and saying the right things out loud. So you're right. Going in with a positive attitude. I'm lucky that I had this time off to actually be able to go and take care of her.
Yes, but make sure on an energy level you shield yourself. It's not in the mind. You actually have to, like, if you were going into a war zone and you were a soldier, right, wouldn't you wear armor?
Yes.
So that's what you're doing. You're going into a war zone, no doubt about it. So don't think it's a pillow. Oh, I'm going into something light and fun. I'm going into a war zone when I go home. See it that way so that you are armored and prepared. Because one of the things is you got to read energy the way that it is. And you are very good at it, Steph. You're very good at reading energy. And you're right on it. So that's good. That's called energy wisdom. You know what's happening. And, you know, people are psychic vampires. Have you heard of that?
I don't think we've got enough time in this episode to get into
all right.
that.
Sorry. But, you know,
wait, just so the quick question, because I was actually going to go in the complete opposite way, because, like, I know she's going to be highly sedated and super out of it and doped up. I was going to go into it, like, very, like, not meek, like, I am strong, but just kind of, like, not go in, like, I'm going in, I'm doing this, blah, blah, blah. Like, I was just going to kind of, like, you know, not sneak in, but just kind of, like, twirl in, you know, blah, 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 and then, like, leave gently. You think I need to be going in?
No. I think you need to go in that way that you think because you're using your intuition, but I just think you still need to think of it as being armored. You have to understand the energy field, even if she's sedated. She's toxic, and it probably brings up a lot of the past for you. So just go in a little wiser and knowing that it's not going to be fun, and it's not going to be easy, and don't expect it, and just go in like a soldier, whatever that means. You could be a gentle soldier, but just protect yourself and know what you're going into, and then just clear it when you leave. Okay, but try to stay unaffected.
Thank you.
And, you know, feel free to call me if you need some help with that, okay? I really, you know, I'm happy to help.
I really appreciate that.
Okay, it really was nice to meet both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Audrey.
Thank you so much. That really helped. Thank you.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Take care.
Next week on the Pratcast, we'll talk about energy vampires. And we'll have, I don't know, someone else from the show on, I hope. That was a bonkers episode. I thought the show, the actual Hills, was bonkers, and then we did the podcast, and even better. So next week, who knows what's going to happen? This place might burn down.
I do.
You do? Okay, well, I don't.
Vegas.
Vegas is happening. Oh, yeah, well, that's not going to be weird and crazy and blackout. I'm excited. All right, Steph Hills, yeah.
Show's over.
Follow Prattcast on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.